Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, viewer discretion is advised.
Well, tell us, Charles.
It's been almost 5 years.
It's okay, just try to remember anything. Anything at all.
Do you want to hear this or not, Miss Savant? It's been almost 5 years, and I can still remember the updates. Friends camping in the comments section. The live streams. Tea House was called the webcomic of dreams. And it was. It really was.
Fujitos, we're back and we're kicking it off with our first webcomic review. We're going to be doing Tea House. But before we get to that, we have a couple of announcements. If you did not get a chance to see us at A-Con, we will be at A-Fest August 16th through the 19th. So don't forget to check our Twitter and our Facebook page to see what we're going to be up to. And then, as promised, because I essentially took away a vote from our Patreon members, I'm going to make up for it with some special manga reviews. So various members in the group are going to do their own little mini reviews of some of their favorite mangas that we didn't get a chance to touch on. And with that, let's head on to the review. So why in the first place are we reviewing Tea House? For me, I felt like it's like a very wholesome webcomic, and I felt like it holds a place in many people's hearts. And because it ended back in 2014 without being completed, I think it's just like this precious jewel that everyone kind of misses. And I felt like it just needed a special review because it's one of the first webcomics that most people have read in the past.
Yeah, it was huge. It was, at the time, I guess, Starfighter and the Tea House.
Yeah, and I think Artifice and the Young Protectors were right up there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I felt like most people had met on Tea House, yeah. And people were jumping around from one comment section to the other. So a lot of friendships just started that way. And I mean, even with my current group of friends, like our Twitter chat page is called TH Minions. And before I joined, it already held that name because most people, again, they had met in the comment section, and that's just how it started. So what is Tea House? It is, and I'm just going to read off what Emmy Rain had posted on their website. Tea House is the story of a fancy brothel in the country of Ivor, following the lives of the courtesans who live there, as well as the lives of the people who seek them out. So then, who are the authors or artists? It is Emmy Rain. Emmy Rain is actually two people. If you break it down the middle, Emmy and Rain stand for both of their names, but they just go by E and CC. E is the girl who does the stenciling. She does the pencil and the inking. And then CC is the lady who wrote the script, and then she would do the colors. So what is your history with with Tea House, Charles?
Gosh, I don't remember exactly when I got into Tea House, but it certainly was maybe the second or third chapter. It wasn't right at the beginning. Uh-huh. I don't even remember how I found it, if someone in our group told me about it, or if I already... Maybe you had told me...
Or Sarah.
You... Somebody told me about it, I think. I don't think I found it on my own, but mm-hmm. I was checking it religiously. I think I had the tab open on my browser every single day, so I could always, once a day or maybe twice a day if I thought it was a update day, hit refresh and see what was going on. I've never been a big commenter, so I didn't ever comment on it, but I did read people's comments sometimes and this, but yeah. It's, oh man, it's gorgeous, full color, beautiful art and storyline. I just love it.
Yeah. Now, I think right when I joined the BL Garden group, I think that's when I started getting into webcomics. Because it was around 2014, 2015. But for me, Starfighter was the first webcomic I ever read. And then while I was mingling in the comments section there, everyone's like, oh, you should go check out Tea House. So that's how I found Tea House. But of course, I caught it right when it was they shut it down. So, I mean, I got to binge read it. That was awesome. But also at the same time, it was just kind of heartbreaking because I didn't get to enjoy it as much as everyone else doing camping for it and all. So I feel like I missed out there. But I mean, it's still a fantastic read. But yeah, I think I was the one who may have mentioned it because we were mostly doing manga at the time.
I do remember who told me, somebody in the group who told me about Starfighter right when I first joined. They said, do you read Starfighter? I said, no. And somebody had the first volume or two, I think might have been out at that time.
Yeah.
And I was reading theirs there. I was like, okay. And they're like, and it might have been at that time they said, and also you need to check out Tea House. And so that would have been in like 2013-ish maybe.
Okay.
So I had a little time.
Okay, yeah, because I joined a little later. But I remember, like, the first meetup that I ever went to, I was drawing Kane in a kilt when that kilt meme was going around. But yeah, because, like, I had asked them, I was like, do you guys read Starfighter? So, yeah, eventually webcomics just kind of sunk their way into the group and everything. So let's start off with the review, getting into it. I thought they did a fantastic job introducing the world and the characters and just the story within it.
Yes.
And I mean, there you kind of run into the issue that we did with Yaribu, where they just throw so many people at you. But in this case, I didn't feel like it was very overwhelming. Maybe that's because, like, it was all in color. You could just tell people apart from their hair color, their attitude, and the way they walked, the way they presented themselves, their mannerisms, they were all so different that it was just easy to remember them all.
Yes. Yeah, and their clothes, even though their clothes change every time, they still all have a style of dress.
Yeah, exactly.
That really fits them. So even if you're not seeing the character's face by what they're wearing, you still know who it is, even though it's not the same thing every time. Really amazing amount of detail.
I know. Yeah, that's... And I think that's where we just can't start comparing manga to webcomics because, like, so much more detail went into this because you have the added colors. And it's just so phenomenal what they did. Yeah. But yeah, there's just a whole list of characters. We'll try to go through them all if you haven't read it. So right off the bat, we have Sir Reese, blue hair. He's the prince of the kingdom, as you'll find out. There's Xanth. He's sometimes called Mr. Atros, but we can just call him, we'll just call him Xanth here. He's the gentleman who runs the tea house. He has black hair, and he's very a manly man.
Stoic.
He's very aloof. He doesn't tend to show a lot of emotions. And then you have Axis. He's like fiery red hair, messed up all the time, kind of wearing... not so much baggy clothing, but it's kind of like torn and stuff.
Yeah, he has a lot of facial jewelry.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He has red tattoos snaking all around his arms and some of his legs. Yeah.
Yes. And then there's Linus, and he, I'm going to say he, even though he is very effeminate, he is not transgender. They do clarify that in their FAQ section on their website. He does not identify as female, so Linus is a he. He has pink hair, and he has the most gorgeous outfits.
Yes.
Like, I wish I could wear it, but, like...
A lot of head jewelry.
Yeah, like, how is that not in style? Like, that needs to be a thing. People need to bring that stuff back.
Yes, he kind of is harem girl-ish. Like, his websites remind me of... Or no, sorry, his websites. His clothing reminds me of harem pants often and like gauzy sheer kind of things and a lot of...
But it's so pretty.
Yeah, and a lot of head, like, not tiaras, but jewelry, not facial jewelry, more like...
It's just like draped gear.
All around him, yeah.
That's the detail we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, they just drew every single gorgeous gem on him.
Yes.
And then moving on, we have Lilith. She's more of a side character, not much of a major character from what you do read. She'll eventually play a bigger role later on, but at this point, she's kind of just like out on the wings, ready to stir the pot. But anyways, I wrote down that she's a bitchy blonde.
Yep.
But also, she's got attitude. Like, she will not let anyone mess with her, so I do have to respect that, but yeah. She's got an attitude, and she also kind of has a little fling with Atros. Mm-hmm. But he's just not into it.
Yeah, he uses her more for release than he doesn't actually care about her.
Which does make me sympathize with her.
And she knows it. You know, mm-hmm. she wises up. He's not leading her on, but she also uses him for her own means a little bit. But yeah. She wishes that he
She's a tough her. Cookie. She reminds me a lot of my Valentine from Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, she can take care of herself.
True.
Another minor character is Mercutio. I love him.
Yeah, he's the minorest of the minor characters. I wish there was more to him. And I think in the end, we don't really find out what happens to him. We'll get there later. Because I saw one of the comments, they're like, what happens to Mercutio?
That's true. Yeah. Well, they do mention what happens, but like we'll get to that in a second.
But yeah, he's hilarious.
Oh God, but like
he's the dominatrix of the group, I guess.
He is like... He may not play a major role, but like you can still pick him out in the crowd because he's over there in the corner snuggling a dildo or something.
Yeah.
And I like it when one character saw him, Lord Reed, and he's like, this one frightens my testicles.
Yes. I love that line. So that good. That is
the best introduction. And that tells you all you need to know about Mercutio.
Yes, it does.
All right. And our next character is Clarette. I want to be her friend. Like, she reminds me of... the princess from She-Ra. You haven't watched She-Ra. No. Oh, gosh. Oh, why am I drawing a blank?
She reminds
Glimmer.
Me.
Glimmer. There we go. Glimmer.
I guess she reminds me a little bit of, like, in Legally Blonde, Elle Woods' friend, who's the manicurist.
Yes!
But that lady is a little bit down in the dumps. Clarette's not like that, but she's sort of the busty, like, sidekick.
Yeah, she's everyone's friend, essentially. Yes. She has green hair. She's very... curvy woman. She's definitely got some weight on her, but it's not like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
She's a very bubbly girl, and you could just pick her out automatically as well. I wouldn't say she's a minor character. She has a hand in helping everyone out.
She's kind of on Lilith's level of side character level.
But more friendly and more helpful.
Yeah.
Another main character we have is Rory. He is obviously a UK. He has red hair like Axis, and he's like the opposite of Axis. He's very shy, kind of quiet.
He's a twink,
definitely.
That's what I mean. He's the little waify, young. Oh, he's 18, they say explicitly, but just just thin, hairless. Twinky guy.
Yeah. And now that you mention it, him being 18, despite him looking young, this is the other thing we love about Tea House, is that there is no rape. There is no Shota. There is no Mpreg. There's none of that nonsense. It's just pure. Yeah. Moving on. Another minor, very minor character is Argent. She's Atros's guard. And she has white hair, kind of these red eyes. She doesn't say a lot. Mm-mm. And she doesn't need to.
Right.
Yeah, but she wears, like, Victorian-ish it's kind of a Victorian dress.
Kind of a masculine style. She wears pants all the time. But
yeah, it looks like horse riding pants.
Yeah, that's a good description. Yeah.
But yeah, she's pretty badass on her own, too. Like, she wields a sword, and she'll pull it out, like, if you mess with anyone.
Yes. She seems like the assassin, cold, quiet assassin type.
Exactly. Would die for you.
Yeah, kind of thing.
And then finally, our last main character is Lord Reed. He reminds me a lot of Iya-san from I Know Kusabi.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because he's giant, he's tall, he has the long flowing hair, but his hair is black. He wears very fine clothing and...
It's very authoritarian. Like, he has orders and you follow his orders and it's not a discussion.
Exactly. So...
He's a rich man.
Very rich. Yeah. So, like, we meet all these characters from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like, maybe it's because we reread it, but even so, I feel like if I were to suggest this to someone as a first-time read, they could easily remember who everyone is, just because they're so distinct.
Yeah, and their names are fairly easy to remember. Unlike
Crimson Spell, like, that was... that's kind of a rule of writing. Don't... Don't give people similar names, Val, Hal, like, just, yeah. You don't go there.
But yeah, because the way that we're introduced to most of the characters is Reese is coming in and Xanth is introducing him to the lineup of courtesans. And so mm-hmm. he says, this is so-and-so and this is so-and-so. So it's introducing him and also us, of course, at the same yeah. time. And it, the way they kind of spotlight each character briefly helps you really put them in your mind and solidify this is who this is and this is who this is. So yeah, I thought they did that well.
They did. I mean, even within that first chapter, they give us some really interesting plot points.
And going back and rereading it, I reread it. I can't remember the last time I read it, but it probably same. About when it ended. I don't think I've touched it since then.
Yeah.
And I still remembered pretty much every character. There wasn't somewhere same, going yeah. that I was like, oh, I forgot about him. Now, that did happen for a couple of characters, but they came in right at the end, sort of. And I was like, oh, right, that guy. You know, but I didn't have a lot of that because they're memorable enough. In
exactly.
your mind that,
like, yeah. I can just, I just remember Axis, like, the most. Like, yeah. he was the most rememberable for me. But also, I've seen a lot of, more specifically, like, Faxon cosplay. I remember him cosplaying mm-hmm. Axis.
I keep wanting to call him Axel because Reese yeah, never calls him really the right close. Name. And so he says Axel and sometimes and all sorts of things. And so I
yeah.
some I forget which is his real name because he gets called many names.
No, okay, yeah. No, he does have a real, real name. Yeah. Axis is just his, I guess, courtesan name. Yeah. But again, we'll get to that later. But to make it easier for the review, we're just going to be following three main couples that are highlighted in the story. So we're going to follow Xanth and Linus, Reese and Axis, and Reed and Rory. So right from the beginning, in chapter one, you can already tell that Axis has had a steamy encounter with Sir Reese and while he did enjoy it, he absolutely hates this guy. Yeah. I think it's because of the stuck-up attitude.
Now, he says he's not gay and he doesn't want to be with men, but of course he's yeah, sale, and so he's going to go with whoever he's told to go with.
And I think he's yeah. playing the attitude, like, I don't like being, you know, the bottom. I don't mm-hmm. like being gay, but it's like, but, you're not complaining to...
Right. No, I mean, he put up some fight, but... And we don't get to see that whole scene because, I mean... At the end of the day, he's for sale. So his yeah. what he wants is not exactly is under consideration as some other ones, you know, as many people, I guess, in that in my mind.
Right.
But, so, but yeah, he definitely enjoyed that time, but he strenuously denies it.
Yeah, so. and it kind of gets that gray line. It's like, well, was it rape? If he's saying he doesn't like, you know, having mm-hmm. gay sex, but it's like, but he enjoyed it. He clearly enjoyed it. And he's blushing the entire time
right.
while trying to deny it. But, it, you know, it just kind of
yeah.
brings me...
Yeah, and you can't say, well, you enjoyed it. You know, that doesn't... That means you wanted it. Not necessarily, but I think he did want it, you know.
So. Yeah, no, he does. Like, yeah. But he doesn't admit it. It's kind of like... The best example that I can come up with that I think anyone could relate to is junk food. You love junk mm-hmm. food. Like, you want it all the time, mm-hmm. but it's not... You tell yourself
it.
No. You tell yourself no, you're going to be good. Mm-hmm. But if someone's, like, pushing it on you, it's like, well, you twisted my arm.
Right, yeah. I think it was probably more like that, even though he was like, no, I'm not going to. And so, yeah. So then when he doesn't get picked,
he's why didn't you really pick me? Off. Yeah.
He is pissed. He's like, how could you pick her over me? And he's like, did you want me to pick you? You just said you didn't. So, yeah. So we get a little insight that maybe he actually didn't not want it. So, yeah.
Right. But it's like, no, I think you're just denying yourself. But anyway, moving on. There's also Linus. They make it very obvious from the beginning that he had a very sensual past with Xanth. And I mean, you could just tell that because just the way they look at each other sometimes and the fact that Linus is allowed to call him Xanth mm-hmm. and no one else can.
Yeah, it's clear they have a long past.
Yeah, and that's what pisses off Lilith a lot because... She's over there trying to have a fling with Mr. Atros, but she's trying to call him Xanth, and he's like, oh, no, I'm going to shut that down right now. And then chapter one ends with Rory. We learn that he is actually a virgin, and Sir Reese brings along Lord Reed to introduce him to each other, because Lord Reed wants only virgins, apparently. Another interesting thing with this webcomic is it doesn't just go from chapter to chapter. In between each chapter, we get Xanth and Linus's backstory from when they were kids. So in the first backstory, we learn that Linus's father dumped him off with Mr. Atros Sr.
He sold him. It's sort of an exchange to pay off some debts.
Yeah, he had like a gambling debt mm-hmm. that he had to pay off, so he just sold Linus off to be a maid. He was originally like a maid there.
He's 5 years old, I think. And then, he's Atros really young. Is 8. So yeah.
Yeah.
They're just kids.
They were just kids. Yeah, and they seem to have like this brotherly bond when they initially meet. And I mean, it's amazing that you can get just all of that information in 4 or 5 pages.
Yeah, those are really short little intermezzos.
Yeah, and they even change up the art style, too. It's like this yes. pastel pink.
Yeah, kind of, and a little bit sepia, though it still has pink for Linus's hair. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely, it's a very strong, striking art visual cue that we're in the past now.
Exactly. So, yeah.
It's nicely done.
Yeah, but by that point, when you were reading it, were you pulled into the comic by that point?
Yeah. Now, I have to say that the only couple I really cared that much about is Axis and Rhys. I don't...
Yeah, okay.
That didn't really pull me in that much. The Linus and Atros story and Linus and Xan never really mm-hmm. got super into it. But I did, artistically, I definitely appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, that one, I enjoyed it, but I felt like my main couples that I enjoyed watching were Axis and Rhys, and then Reed and Rory. Because, I mean, that's how chapter one ended, was Reed mm-hmm. appearing before him and going, "Are you the virgin?" Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well, I need to see where this over goes.
Him. He's about 8 feet tall.
Yeah, but... I mean, I didn't find it too overwhelming with all these characters thrown right. at us. Mm-hmm. Unlike with Yati Bu, like, that was kind of yeah. a headache. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's not to knock Yati Bu. I right. mean, it was still enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I felt like the characters alone were enough to, like, draw me in and keep reading to see, like, how it all goes down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, anyways, moving on to chapter two, Axis gets another night with Sir Rhys, and clearly he enjoys it, yep. although he's bitching about it at first. Mm-hmm. And then it's revealed that Sir Rhys is actually the son of the current king, who is slowly dying, and to prepare for the transition of power, Rhys is actually set to marry Lord Reed's cousin, mm-hmm. Gloria.
Yes.
And then...
They're from the neighboring kingdom or country or something.
Yeah, I the name escapes me.
Verone?
Yeah, Verone, that was yeah, it. Yeah. That was it. But, yeah, a little information about Verone. Apparently, it's illegal to be homosexual there, and it's important to keep that in mind, like, for later mm-hmm. when you read the very last bit of information yes. that the artists put out there.
Yeah. And the marriage is a political marriage only, not a marriage of love, for sure, between Rhys and Gloria.
Oh, yeah,
They pretty much hate each other.
Exactly. But... And Gloria's in it just to be the queen. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a powerful woman, just yes. the way she presents herself. But going back to the other characters in chapter two, at this time, Linus is seeing a client named Liard, and Xanth gets a bit jealous of how much he's fawning over him, mm-hmm. and eventually Liard comes in to try and purchase Linus, but he's not having it because right. Xanth finds out that he notices a bruise on Linus, whether it was an accident or something happened, it's never clarified. But for now, we assume it was an accident because Liard claims that Linus never complained. But anyways, Xanth tells Linus that he is forbidden from seeing Liard, and he essentially bans Liard from the tea house.
He does ban Liard from the tea house. He makes Linus give him all the jewelry that Liard ever gave him. But he makes Linus think that it's his fault. He's like, he doesn't want to see you anymore.
Like, yeah, and it's just a dick move.
That's one thing that I didn't like, is that Xanth does a lot to hurt Linus. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like Linus does the same amount back, like, trying to make each other kind of jealous.
He attempts it later on.
I mean, he does some, but not to the level that Xanth does. And... clearly he's hurting, and Xanth just keeps hurting.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this all goes back to Xanth being a manly man. He's mm-hmm. got to be a man.
Yeah, and we get more of their backstory later, but I think part of that, Xanth just being a total ass,
yeah.
especially to Linus, just turned me off of their story compared to the other ones.
But I was more interested in Linus, like, out of those two characters. Like, I just wanted to know what happened to Linus. Moving on to Lord Reed and Rory. With their first meeting, he just has Rory masturbate to determine if he's a virgin. And afterwards, he makes a deal with Xanth to buy Rory exclusively. And then we also learn that Rory is now the top earner, so he and Axis have to switch rooms, and of course, Axis throws a hissy fit about it. It's pretty funny. And also another thing that we learn, when Rory is masturbating, he's masturbating to his twin sister, Remy.
Yeah, that, I didn't like that.
I don't think it was...
That's sort of explained in the very end.
It is, but not a whole lot. Like,
I guess they were trying to say that he's not really excited by the thought of her, and he doesn't want to have sex with his sister, but that's the only naked person he knew or something
They definitely touch on it at the very end of the comic, but I couldn't remember if it was because they had a sexual interaction when they were much younger, but... I found it a bit disturbing.
Yeah, it was a bit gross. But apparently, I don't know, maybe we'll get to that later. But they do sort of explain it at the end.
Yeah. So then we go on to the next backstory. We get a look at the toxic masculinity in Xanth's life. We learn why he's trying to be, like, a manly man. It's because of his father. Like, this shit is taught to little boys. His father tells him that he's too old for sweet tea. It's for girls. He needs to drink black coffee because that's what men do.
Yeah.
He can't read aloud because that's not what real men do. And we also see that Linus is starting to become more effeminate. Like, he expresses interest in crowns and pretty things.
Yeah.
And he wants his own prince.
Yeah. They read some fairy tale. He wants to be the princess, basically, because... But you know, but you're not a girl, right? He's like, yeah, but I want a prince and a crown.
Yeah, so. And that kind of explains why he's wearing all the gorgeous headgear. All right, chapter 3. So Linus, of course, is pissed off about losing one of his like main clients. And he ends up canceling all his appointments for the day. And he essentially ends up meeting a new client named Mr. Gilder. And this is kind of where... I get more interested in Linus's story because Mr. Gilder, like, when he's taking off all his clothes, a shit ton of knives
he's
fall
clearly
out.
An assassin of some
sort. Yeah, and, like, Linus isn't picking up on this. Like, at first I thought he was going to be killed, but... Yeah.
I like Gilder a lot.
I did, and actually, I ended up shipping Linus with Gilder a lot more than with Xanth.
Same.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was very romantic. I mean, and it kind of goes to one of the things that I like between couples is that one of them's gigantic and the other one's kind of, like, small and frail.
Yeah, Linus is also a twink, and this guy's a big old bear guy, I guess. He's very large and muscular. And
despite being an assassin, like, he's so gentlemanly and sweet.
Yes.
He like, really picks Linus off his feet, literally, too.
Yeah.
All right, and then we go back to Rory and Reed. He's kind of caught off guard by how blunt Lord Reed is, because, like, they have another session together, and Lord Reed doesn't really want to chit-chat with him. He doesn't want to try the cupcakes he makes. He just tells them, you're too tight. You need to fix it. And it's just kind of, it's just so blunt and a little rude, you know?
He is very blunt.
Yeah.
Not... Kind of in a selfish way, like, he doesn't care what other people think. He's just going to say it, and but I'm paying for this, so, you know, get it right.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny, like, just all the sex toys he buys him and sends to him.
He keeps sending him gifts of toys. Oh, my God.
And he doesn't know what to do with them. Like, that's the funny thing, too.
Mercutio does.
Oh, yes. He wanted to take those. All right, and then we're introduced to another minor character. We're introduced to Reese's sister, Evie. She finds Reese's tea house card.
Yeah.
And
his frequent flyer card.
Yeah. And he's kind of dismissive about it at first. He's like, you know, maybe you should go there. Maybe you need to, like, chillax and stuff. So she does. And she ends up meeting Axis. And you can tell what happens after that.
Yes. Axis doesn't know he's the prince and doesn't care. And so he doesn't know that she's the princess and doesn't care. So,
He'll fuck anyone.
Yeah. So he gives no shits.
Yeah, exactly. And then we end the chapter with Xanth, and we find out that he actually is married and he has a wife named Yvette.
Yes.
Yeah, they did it so well. Like, it just ends with him slipping on a ring and going home, and it's like, damn. All right, and then we go to the next backstory. We see that Xanth is being beaten by his father because he has a black eye.
Big black eye.
And he's about to be sent off to boarding school. And this is when Linus kind of, like, sneaks into his bedroom and...
Is that when they were all wet?
Yeah, like, Linus was out in the rain. He knocks on the window. He's like, let me in.
And he climbed up on the roof, and then Xanth dries his hair, and it turns into, like, a poofy fro. Yeah,
like a Jigglypuff.
They laugh forever. Yes, yes, just like a
It's like a Jigglypuff latched onto his head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Linus promises to write him letters every week, so they start this practice of writing letters back and forth. And, again, that's going to come into play and essentially... cause havoc later on down the road. All right, now chapter 4. We're going quickly. Yeah. Yes.
Whew. The chapters aren't that long.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. But, like, they still compact all this information into them. And, I mean, it's just so detailed. I love it.
Yes, yes.
So, chapter 4 kicks off with Sir Rhys waking up in Zephyr's bed. And Zephyr is, like, another minor character. It's his, I guess, main bodyguard.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess he... Their relationship isn't really explored until, again, the very, very end. And we don't get a lot of history, like, whatever their history is. But you can tell that Zephyr has a thing for him. Mm-hmm. Sir Rhys is just essentially using him.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Xanth uses Lilith to let off some steam every now and again.
Yes.
And then Rhys finds out that his sister was with Axis. So he goes to confront Axis. And it leads to one of my most favorite scenes, where Axis pretty much kicks his ass, and he's like, so why am I kicking your ass? And he's like, you fucked my sister!
He's like, so what? I'm a prostitute. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, but it's funny when Rhys walks in, and, like, there's, like, another lady of the court that he knows.
Oh, yeah. He barges in, and Claret's like, I don't think you should go in there. Oh, at first he bursts into the Axis's old room.
Yes!
He doesn't know that Rory and Axis have switched rooms, and he's holding one of the toys that Lord Reed gave
him. Yeah,
Lord,
like Lord Reed's dildo.
His best friend, and he's like, I'll tell Reed that you're enjoying that.
Oh, man. I love these little comedic moments just in the background, because, like, Rory's just sitting there with a buzzing dildo, and it's just, he's just quiet, he's not saying anything, and it's just going buzz.
Yes. Yes.
But, yeah, it led to a really interesting sex scene between them, because this is another thing I like about Tea House, and why I would recommend it for a first-time reader, is that it's not too graphic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't...
They don't show see thing entering other thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they show nudity, but they have, like, a speech bubble above the private parts, so you don't see anything.
Right.
But, I mean, it's still, it's, like, there's still plenty of nudity, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of funny how they do it, too.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, another favorite line appeared there, where Axis was saying, you know, oh, man, I think he was trying to say, like, who gives a better blowjob, you or your sister?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's like, just prove it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was great. And then we go back to Linus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then when Rhys is looking up at him, he's like, there's the family
resemblance. Oh, the burn!
Oh, that was a good line, too.
That was great. Yeah. Oh, see, this is why I like their relationship the most, because they're just, like, going at it against each other.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, moving on to Linus, he has tea with Yvette, Xanth's wife, and he learns that she's pregnant. And it just kind of, you can just see him shatter a bit.
Mm-hmm. And they're friends. He and Yvette are friends, I guess.
Yeah, because, like, she's
not jealous of him, so she doesn't
know
what happened.
Yeah, she has no idea about their history. She just knows that they're really good childhood friends. So, of course, because Linus is so effeminate, she's, like, very friendly with him, and they're always having tea together, supposedly. So they have a pretty good relationship. And then we go back to Rory. Again, he receives that giant vibrating dildo, but it doesn't fit, so he hands it off to Mercutio. And then the shit hits the fan at the very end of the chapter, because Rory is surprised when he finds Remy, his twin sister, in the office.
Yes. So we're like, oh, that's that girl that you were jerking off to.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Oh, man. Yeah, she's also there to stir the pot, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, she's like a minor character at first, but then she kind of needles her way through the top. All right, and then the next backstory, it just shows Xanth returning from boarding school, and by this point, he's like, he's so different. He's starting to become that very toxic, masculine kind of man. He's not showing any emotions. Like, Linus just wanted him to say, I missed you too, and he wouldn't say it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does eventually. He kind of, like, breaks down and finally says it. Mm-hmm. But before that, he's just very dismissive of, like, any emotional lines. It's kind of sad to see, like, a child broken like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Mm-hmm. On to chapter 5, we see Mr. Gilder committing a crime with his accomplice, Satcha, who's actually male. I thought it was female at first, but mm-hmm. it's actually male. And he's committing these crimes essentially to steal money and then go see Linus.
I think they're for hire also. Like, do they do jobs that they're told what to do? I think
so. We never see like who gives these orders.
Right.
But Satcha makes it clear like it's an assignment that they need to get it done.
Yeah, they say it's a job that they have, somehow they get a big payoff from these jobs, and Gilder saves up money instead of going to cheaper prostitutes, he saves up money so he can go see Linus.
Exactly, yeah. It kind of piqued my interest when I saw him committing this crime because like they do this kind of zoom in on a bloody handkerchief that he leaves behind. And I thought that it was going to come back to bite him in the ass. Like, I thought there was going to be an investigation. And it was going to... I thought it was, like, Linus's cloth or something. Mm-hmm. And it was going to lead the police to the tea house. And I thought shit was going to go down. But that didn't happen. Apparently,
that was nothing.
Yeah. And, I mean, it didn't need to be in there. Mm-hmm. Like, the story is perfectly fine. Like, honestly, they did not need another subplot going on in there. Because it's hectic enough already.
True.
Yeah, so chapter 5 is when Xanth tells Linus that Liard is interested in buying him, and this hurts Linus's feelings because Xanth is really dismissive of how Linus feels about living at the tea house. Linus is saying, well, I've been here all my life. This is my home, my family. I don't want to leave. And Xanth is saying, well, like, what do you care? You're just a prostitute.
Yeah, so that's... I guess before Xanth wouldn't sell his contract because he wanted to keep Linus there. Yeah. And now things are changing. And so his way of telling Linus, I don't really want you here. I'd rather make money than have you here.
That, and again, Xanth is trying to get revenge because he's jealous that Linus is with Mr. Gilder. Like he sees them like kissing and making out at the entrance of the tea house. And he just lets it boil in him, and then now he's lashing out by saying, you know, I'm going to reconsider this contract with Liard. You can be with him if you want to. Mm-hmm. And in this chapter, the king is finally dying. He's about to pass away. And Sir Reese just can't handle it. Apparently, like, he and his sister already went through their mother's death in the past, and his father dying just kind of takes a toll on him, so he goes to the tea house, but it upsets Evie because it's a family moment. You're supposed to be there with family, mm-hmm. but he just needed a breather and he went to the tea house instead.
I remember for sure I was reading when this part was being updated. I remember waiting for these pages.
Oh, wow.
For sure by this point. Yeah.
And then Rory and Reed, they get a little bit more intimate with their sexual interactions, but it's not intercourse just yet. Afterwards, Lord Reed says, you know, next time I'll enter you. And then Remy starts stirring the pot, like, in the middle of the night. She enters Rory's room, and she threatens to take his room. Like, she's just such a menace.
Yes.
All right, and then the next backstory just shows how Linus and Xanth met Argent. She was being bullied, but everyone kept mistaking her for a him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was being bullied. They rescue her. And then Argent just kind of follows them around after that. And then moving on to chapter 6, Rory starts becoming concerned about what Remy's doing in the tea house.
She starts out as a cleaning servant,
she is
right?
a cleaning maid, but she finds way to interact with the main characters, mm-hmm. and Axis, you know, is just being a little flirty with her. So Rory's concerned about those two being together. And then, of course, as promised, he and Lord Reed finally have intercourse. And then going back to Linus, he has another session with Mr. Gilder. and he brings him like this very gorgeous ruby necklace. And again, I thought it was going to go back to that murder thing. Like,
oh yeah, he stole it. Yeah, or like, where did you get that? Did you buy it, or did it?
That's what I was thinking. Someone you
killed, but they didn't really answer that question.
I yeah,
it doesn't matter
exactly. No. But again, the necklace still plays a part, like in the very end, but in a different way. And then this was so sad for Zephyr. Like, if you read the comment section, like everyone felt so bad for Zephyr in this next part. Because the king dies at the very end of chapter 5, and Rhys is struggling to cope. Like, he's drinking and stuff. He's...
Like, the next time we see him, he has these very, very dark circles under his eyes. He looks terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit abrupt, I thought, but I don't... Maybe not, but...
Well, I think it was fine, because, like, he... I'm sure he's taught not to show emotions. Mm-hmm. He's meant to be this pillar for the people. So, of course, he locks himself in his room, and he's drinking. He's in a bathrobe, and he looks like shit.
Because they don't really explain exactly which part of everything. I mean, he's got a lot going on, but which part bothers him the most? Does he bother that he has to get married, or is he more bothered that his father's dead because he really liked his father, which we don't know that he really liked his parents or whatever. But maybe that was it, or is it because...
I think it was the fact he's that gonna he had to be king
he
now.
He has to be king now, and it's going to be a lot.
Because that's where this comes into play. Like, Zephyr tries to cheer him up by giving him a blowjob, and like, damn, this hurt his ego so bad. Like, Rhys felt nothing. He's just staring at him, and he's like, you know what? Just go to the tea house, bring me access. And it's like, damn! He don't want you, boy. Zephyr goes to the tea house, and he tells Xanth that, you know, the new king is about, will buy Axis. But Xanth, this is where I think he's like a really great leader, essentially. He tells him, like, I'm not just going to sell him off. I'm going to let him have a say in this. Axis can go with you for the night, see what the prince has to offer, and then he can make his decision.
Yeah.
And that's how that chapter ends. And then in the backstory, we go back to Argent's relationship with Linus and Xanth. She's following them around everywhere they go, and eventually they become friends. And then moving on to chapter 7. This is the very last chapter. It's halfway through that it ends abruptly. I don't want to say abruptly, because we do get an explanation of how the story is going to end anyway.
So at this point, there have been many hiatuses?
Yes.
off and on hiatus taking, which, of course, the... authors and artists are allowed to do.
They are.
And then pages were getting spaced out a little more and more. So it wasn't a total surprise when all of a sudden it
a lot of people saw it coming.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. They were trying their best to make it work by taking long breaks or spacing the pages out more and then doing a few at a time or something. So, so when the ball dropped that we're not doing any more pages, but we're going to tell you how it ends, it wasn't a total surprise. Though my heart is still broken. It's almost too soon to talk about it still.
It was like 5 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sad. Very sad.
But yeah, before we continue with chapter 7 and the very last bits of the story, we should definitely talk about them taking hiatus and stuff. I mean, Emmy Rain doing Tea House was not a full-time job.
No.
It was just something they did on the side. Cece was going to grad school, and she was, like, working her ass off, like, trying to, like, give everyone the best quality of art that they could ask for.
Yes.
And
it for sure, every page, I'm sure, took so much time. Yeah,
she mentioned
time.
How many hours it took. It could take 20 hours. It took 16 hours. Yeah. Like, she gave it her all.
Very labor-intensive.
Same thing with E. Like, she... There were points where Cece was too bogged down with work and grad school that E was essentially running Tea House by herself.
Yeah, they would post pages that were uncolored, which, I mean, to give us the update.
But it was still good, like.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, the update, it's either going to be super late, so late that it's going to take another week or so, or you can have the uncolored pages. So, I mean, I'm glad they did that.
Yeah.
They said, here's what we got so far, we'll fill it in later, which, unfortunately, most of the time they never get to do. But,
yeah.
They were trying their best to make it work. This is pre-Patreon and pre-Kickstarter, you know.
And they did sacrifice a lot of their time with family to get it done.
And then one of the two of them got a job in animation that was going to be like a huge.
That's E.
I think she had been doing freelance work also. Like sometimes in her, it would say, not in the comments, but in their like little tagline and say, you know, sorry, just finished with a big freelance project that was taking up all my time. So, you know, they were working full time and doing freelance stuff and grad school stuff. And then she got this really apparently amazing job that she really couldn't say what it was. But,
I have it right here and I'll touch on that in the end. But I didn't see it in the comment section if there were any rude comments to them, like, oh my god, you guys are so undependable. Like, I didn't see that.
They moderated the comments.
That's true, though. They do have mods, but I don't really remember seeing it. I mean, I'm sure there were people disappointed, but I mean, there again, if Tea House was their full-time job and they wanted to be, like, professional webcomic artists... Mm-hmm. Then I think people would have had the right to, like, bitch about it. Like, this is your full-time job. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, emergencies do happen. Like, taking your dog to the hospital or whatever. Like, emergencies happen. Mm-hmm. But because this was not their full-time job, like, I think people had absolutely no room to bitch and complain.
Yeah, no, no.
And again, when I was going through as many of the comments as I could before this review, I saw a lot of supportive messages out there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because, and then when we got the summary, so what they did was they gave us a summary of how each of the three main storylines were going to end, and the third storyline being Xanth and Linus also included a bunch of other people's side storylines.
Yeah.
And seeing how much more there was to come, I mean, they made the only choice that was correct, which is that they're not going to be able to finish it, so rather than just stop and never update again like so many people do, they actually told us what was going to happen, and like...
Yeah.
I am so, and I appreciate so that thankful still. That they did that, so that even if we didn't get to see it, we got to know the closure of how the story was going to end.
Yeah, we get some sort of closure, though we didn't visually see it.
Right. Because the art was really the best part, better than the story even. But yeah, so I so appreciate that they did that.
Me too.
If they hadn't done that, I would be sad. Like when you read a fan fiction and it's got like 100 chapters and you get to chapter 100 and there's no next chapter and you realize it hasn't updated in 5 years and you're like, oh, that's not gonna ever continue. Why did I even start this journey? But in this case, we at least get to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness for that. See, and that's why whenever I would read fanfics in the past, I would only do completed works.
Completed, yes. Now,
I didn't need the heartbreak.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah, but like... I just can't blame them for it, because if you were to break the entire story of Tea House down into, like, the introduction, rising action, climax, falling action, and then denouement, we're only at the rising
action. We're still
action.
In rising
action. We're nowhere
action.
Near the climax of the story.
Nope.
And
we've barely even hit conflict yet.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. I mean, the pots were barely being stirred.
Yes.
But, yeah, they were... I kind of live by the line, inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. Mm-hmm. And I think they looked at life yard by yard, they saw how much they had to do, and they're like, fuck it. No, we're not doing it.
Smart of them to do it, because when they started, you know, they didn't know how their lives were going to be, you know, in however many years it was going to take. Because when did it start?
It started back in 2012.
2012, right? Yeah. So they worked on it for...
2 years. A good 2 years. Almost three.
And so knowing that it was going to take them at least that long to keep going.
Yeah,
I
can't blame them, because I don't even know if they live in the same town anymore, if they see each other. I mean, they would have had to sacrifice more time to go to conventions and all that jazz.
And they did do that. They went to conventions and they had a lot of merch.
Yeah.
And I don't blame the choice they made at all. It sounded like
If they had continued it to this day and we were only getting an update maybe once or twice a month, I would still be a loyal fan.
And it would still not be finished.
Yeah, it still wouldn't be finished, but I'd still read it. Oh, yeah. I'd still have that shit down.
Yes.
But yeah, as for where are they now, I checked Emmy Rain's Twitter page. It's not active anymore. Mm-hmm. The last couple of messages they had were like in 2017, but CC said that she graduated from film school, congrats.
Great.
And she is now writing for a TV show called The Magicians. I don't know if that's still going on. I do some descriptions for the Magicians at my work, but I don't know if she's like still working there. And then E is working full-time in animation right now.
I think they mentioned, she mentioned Adventure Time in something.
Did she?
She's like, I can't tell you what it is, but it has to do with Adventure Time or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I think that's ended, so I'm sure she's on to even
something else.
Bigger and better things. But yeah, they definitely...
So they, for all we know, they could be like in California.
Yeah, well, they were, I mean, where their lives were going and moving up. And
I'm so happy for them
that it was going like that. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, being an artist, like, it's a cutthroat business. Like, it's difficult to find the job you want in your field of liberal arts. Mm-hmm. It's just so freaking hard.
Yes.
Like, even to this day, I still know actors who are still chasing their dream, and they are working two jobs just to keep up with it all.
Yes.
Also, another thing that Cece said is that she is currently, well, this was back in 2017, she said, I'm currently writing a book for Marvel called Generation X, and there's a really cute gay pairing in that book if any of you are interested. Okay. I haven't looked it up just yet, but yeah, Google that real quick if you want. But we should finish this with the last bit of information that we have. So in Chapter 7, this is the what they drew. Xanth arrives home to his wife, and you can just see he's just, like, very unhappy. He doesn't want to be there. And we kind of get a peek into her life a little. Mm-hmm. Like, the house is pink.
Yeah.
There are teddy bears giant everywhere. Teddy bears.
And at first I thought they were in the nursery, but no.
Oh, no, it's the entire house.
Yeah, she's like a...
She's a
woman
child.
And very spoiled and selfish. And
she is. I mean, even he was walking down the hall to his office, and there were just these two gigantic portraits of just her. And I'm like, wow, you got an ego much?
I think she mentions daddy, too, which we learn more about that.
Yes.
She's a daddy's girl.
Definitely. She gets what she wants. She's never been told no.
Right.
And then one of the final pages that we see is Axis arriving at the castle, and he comforts Rhys, who just pissed off his sister and his wife. And he's trying to cope with all that.
Yeah. And it's clear that they're about to have some kind of nice, steamy scene.
They are. That was actually going to be the one of the first switch scenes where...
Yes. Yeah, it was going to switch.
They almost made it.
We wanted to see that so bad.
I wonder if Starfighter took the title of the first switch in webcomic. I don't know.
I don't know. But, man, when we learned that was about to happen, which we kind of knew that was happening, we were all crying. Like,
no,
we wanted to see that. Oh, it still hurts me.
It does. But, yeah, if you want, Tea House is still up there if you want to read it. There are, like, maybe four or five pages that are... missing. They're broken. Like, they just don't load for whatever reason, but it doesn't detract from the story at all.
No.
Then the very final three posts are a giant summary of what is going to happen and how the story is going to end, and we'll go through that real quick right here.
Let me say this,
like a quick bullet of everything.
It's way better than how Game of Thrones, like, Game of Thrones wrapped up real quick, and it wasn't that good. A lot of people disagree with how it happened.
Oh, boy.
This was way better than that, even though some of the things were like, oh, okay, but... and things could have, if they had kept going, they might have changed things in the storyline. Things could have evolved as it happened, but...
Yeah.
Much more satisfying than Game of Thrones for me personally so far.
Well, I'm one of those people who hasn't watched it, so I don't care.
Yeah, a lot of people not so happy, but this was more satisfying than that.
So we'll go through these bullet points real quick, because, like, it was a lot of stuff.
Yes.
So, anyways, Axis is he struggles with life in the castle, and his history is revealed. I won't spoil it. Mm-hmm. You guys can go read that for yourselves. Rhys is also struggling to be the king. His wife wants to have sex every night because she wants to get an heir, like, out there.
Mm-hmm. And for no other reason.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, there is no love in their relationship at all. And then Reed is with Rory. So lonely. What did I write?
I think Rory gets kind of lonely or something.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's right. So Rhys is the one who feels extremely lonely because Lord Reed has been his longtime friend.
Yes.
But because he's preoccupied with Rory at the tea house, he has no one to turn to for comfort.
Right.
And then Zephyr is still interested in Sir Rhys, and their relationship is kind of explored a little bit more.
And they said that he would have gotten together with so and so, who's a character I think we weren't.
Yeah, we weren't introduced to yet.
But he was going to get a happy ending.
Zephyr was going to get a happy ending. And then Gilder and Sacha, they have a bigger role to play. Hint, hint, assassins.
Yeah. And turns out they end up together.
Yeah. And then we see the ups and downs in Reed and Rory's relationship. Like, they split up, they get back together, they split up, so on and so forth. And then Rory's feelings for his sister are explored. Like, it's explained what happened between them when they were kids.
And how utterly annoying, terrible she is.
Yeah, and...
But she gets a funny, bad ending, I guess you would say.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she gets what's coming to her.
Yes.
And they essentially almost resolve their issues. But yeah, mm-hmm. like I said, she's like a bitch till the end, and she gets what's coming to her.
Yes.
We also learn more about Xanth and Linus's past, and we see how they were both essentially screwed over by Atros Sr. because, like, they were sending letters to each mm-hmm. other. The senior found out about it, and of course, he prevented their letters from reaching each other because he eventually finds out about their relationship and he puts an end to it.
Yeah, and he tells each one that the other one is... He doesn't tell him he stops the letters. Yeah. Like, he tells Linus, oh, he must not just be writing to you, and Xanth doesn't know why he's not getting any letters anymore. And so, which kind of... Xanth does something similar to Linus by telling him, like, oh, Lord... What's his name? Liard. Liard doesn't want to see you anymore, blah, 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 so...
Yeah, so that explains... So-and-so
wants to buy your contract. So he's kind of turned into his father a little bit.
Exactly. It explains the issues that they have throughout the story. But once again, there's a happy ending. They repair their relationship. We also find out that Arjun and Claret are a couple. Like, I didn't see that coming.
Apparently,
at all.
A lot of people did see that. I'm not sure where.
I did it for some reason.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know. I wasn't paying as much attention to Arjun, maybe. And so.
I thought Arjun was just being comforting. Like, there were some times where Claret would walk into, I think, like, an uncomfortable situation, mm-hmm. and Arjun would just lead her away. But, like, I had no idea that there was, like, something between them, you mm-hmm. know? But yeah, it's a happy ending for everyone, and that's how it ends. Like, I highly recommend that everyone reads it. I read it in 4 days, like two chapters a night. And like I said, it's really short.
I read it all yesterday.
Oh, God. That's possible, too, if you want to binge read it like that.
However, I wasn't paying as much attention to the art and the details. I was mostly just reading the text. But mm-hmm. if you wanted to really pore over every page, it's definitely worth it. And they printed most of the chapters. I don't know if they did. Did they do chapter 6? Maybe they did. Of course, sold out now. But if you find someone that has one, like last time when I went to, this was actually at OnCon, but some conventions have libraries, especially Yaoi conventions will have like a mm-hmm. library of BL. Sometimes they'll have the webcomic volumes there. Like that one had Tea House.
Wow.
So that's where you might be able to sneak a peek, is if you can find someone or somewhere that has a copy that you can look at. They're really gorgeous. And did they have side stories at the end in each one? I don't remember.
Kind of like they did mention that they had like bonus stories mm-hmm. at the end that were never published online.
Yes, you can only see them if you can find a hard copy.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, if you want to buy it, they're all gone.
Yes, they're not planning to reprint more.
No. If someone would resell it, like the entire collection for $100, I'd buy that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth that, because there's at least, I think there's 6 volumes, so... Yeah, that's less than $20 each, which is probably what they were about going for.
I don't remember. Did they ever publish 6? Because, like, I could have sworn one of their last posts was about chapter 5.
Maybe.
But, yeah, they're not for sure. It's gone now, guys.
Yeah, I saw them at YaoiCon. I think it was in 2014, maybe. I went there. Halo Machine was there. And they were there in, like, the booth pretty much next to her. So I got to see them.
Man,
And then it was, like... A couple months later, maybe not even, that they announced that it was done.
I'm so upset. I went to YaoiCon the year after, and I was, like, so upset because I missed Emmy Rain, I missed Hamlet when she was there. I was like, oh, son of a bitch, like, everyone's gone.
Yeah, and they and Hamlet, or maybe one of them and Hamlet uh-huh. Machine, had a BL tour of Japan that was...
Hamlet did go on that. They all went on it.
Pack Set Tours, Hamlet Machine, and was it both Emmy and Emmy Rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was... I didn't go on that, but that sounded really cool.
I know some people who did, you lucky girls.
Yeah. So, yes. There's still some ads. There's still a banner ad on some of the pages for that BLT House tour or something like that.
Yeah, I think it still pops up on Starfighter's page, too. Like, Does it? I don't remember. I could have sworn
it was on some of these pages because they just haven't been updated in a long time.
Yeah. Maybe it's something else. Like something else.
Yeah.
What? I just remember like when I was reading Starfighter, like Tea House would pop up on the side banner and I'd go see it.
That's key good webcomic finding there is look at the banner ads on other webcomics you like.
Exactly.
Yeah, those were very linked, the two of them.
Yeah, actually those advertising links.
Wise.
Those not on Starfighter anymore, but definitely on the Tea House web page, they have a link section that will take you to a bunch of other really good webcomics. But yeah, that's it. Yeah, I mean, we highly recommend it. I don't think there's like a single bad thing you could really say about this comic.
I don't really love Xanth. I just think is an a-hole. And
well, is it really his fault if he was taught that way?
I mean, true. I mean, you could make that argument. But then also, again,
he chooses to be that way too. Yes.
So yeah. I not saying that everybody would feel like this, but for me, that's a kind of character that I don't really like. So I didn't love him, and so I wasn't as invested in his story because I didn't like him. And even reading about why it was the way it was, that didn't really endear me to him that much.
Yeah.
Definitely Axis and Reese. That's my far and away the one I cared about the most.
That's my favorite couple, like, of all of them.
Yeah, red versus blue. Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, it's so great. We could reminisce about it all day. But yes. That's it, and I'm glad we got to review it because it deserves all the love.
Yes, even though it's not complete art-wise per se, it is a complete story.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous. And because it's set in the past, it's timeless. You know, it can't age badly because, well, I mean, I guess it could if social norms change. But like sometimes when I read or hear about something, like for example, in Love, Simon, they're using like a web platform to do a lot of things, like the secrets page on their high school and things that use cell phones a lot. I feel like they'll age badly because in 20 years, technology is going to be so different.
Yeah.
So that's one reason I like historical stuff is because history already happened. We can't, you know, it's not going to be obsolete because it happened already. So it's that historical, not really fantasy, but what time period would you say it is? Renaissance-ish?
I feel almost Victorian, almost.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
just because later. Of some of the outfits. It was very ball gown-ish.
Yeah, for sure before with a lot of cars. Ruffles. Yeah, yeah. For sure before automobiles.
Yeah.
And But, so yeah, it's kind of a historical fiction, sort of, but in fictional countries, and characters have random colors of hair, and it's totally okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely go read it, guys. I don't know if E and CC have Twitter pages today. I'd have to do a little more digging to see, but yeah, just I think give it a read.
Yes,
it's worth it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah. All right, guys, bye-bye. Thank you for allowing us to do this review of Tea House. Like, it just deserves it.
It does.
All right, guys, we will see you at A-Fest, hopefully.
Yay.
Ta-ta. Thanks for listening to 801 Reviewed. You can find more episodes of this show and the 801 podcast on Simplecast and iTunes. If you enjoy the show or want to help us out, please consider leaving a review or donate to our Patreon page. We wish you the best, Emmy Rain. Thank you for the tea.